Welcome to the Diary of a Sales Expert podcast. My name's James White, and I'm on a mission to help business owners and sales professionals all over the world get incredible sales results. So thanks for listening, and let's get started. Okay, so this week in the podcast, I'm going to talk to you about a real big pet hate of mine that I see so many people in sales situations doing, and I'm going to share with you why you need to change your approach if you are doing this in this way. And that's in the way in which you follow up with a potential buyer once you've had a conversation or shared proposal with them. And I'm going to use an example of around them called the law of reciprocity as part of this process to explain to you what I mean. But let me explain a bit more about the situation first. So typically when I see people, and this has happened generally when you've had a conversation with a potential buyer. So you've had a meeting with someone, you've had a discussion with them, maybe you've tried to follow up with them with a follow-up proposal. And what's generally happened is that proposal you've sent through to that person has, for whatever reason, hasn't prompted them to take action straight away. Or you have a meeting with them and you're keen to follow up and do business with them, but there's a gap between what they want right now and what you want. And there are ways to avoid that, by the way, and there are other podcasts where I've shared where there is, you know, I always believe you should end a sales conversation ideally with a date and time for the next step of the meeting and the appointment. And I also said this in other episodes, I don't believe you should necessarily send a proposal through to people. I encourage you to go on a call and share the information with them directly so you can at least assess their view. But let's say you haven't done that, and let's say you're in a position, this happens a lot, where people will get a proposal sent to them. What they do, we tend to do is they insert a proposal and they'll then get back a week later and they'll send an email such as this. Hi, Mary. It's James here. Just wanted to see where you were with the proposal. Love to hear your thoughts and work with you. Regards, James. And they get emails sent like that on a regular basis. When I've had proposals sent to me from people, I get similar emails back. Now, what's the problem with that email? The problem with that email is that it's very selfishly focused. It's focused on you as a buyer. What you're doing, it's focused on you as a seller. And it's about what you want. You want Mary, in that case there, to come back to you and say, yes, I'm going to work with you, get the deal signed and move forward. So it's a very selfish act on the behalf of the seller. And as I've said in previous episodes and conversations, buyers actually don't care about you as a person, invariably. They don't care. They don't buy things just to make you feel happy. They buy things for what it's going to do in their world, how it's going to change their world, how it's going to make them think differently. And when you send an email like that to someone, which is generally quite selfish because it's about what you want, most buyers are going to look at that. And unless they happen at that time to literally happen to think, I need that service or I require that service right now, or the problem is big enough, they're going to ignore it, they're going to delete it. Because it serves you as the seller, not them as the buyer. And when we understand those elements, you know, when we understand those factors, different things change in the sales dynamic and the sales process. So how can we change that? What can we do differently?
Yeah.
So there was a great study, and I'm going to say this without a lot, but there was a sociologist in the 70s called Philip, I'll say his name, Philip Kunt is his name. You have to search it. That's his name. It makes me laugh. Darren's laughing, working with me. That's his name, Nobbington. He's a sociologist. Anyway, he did this experiment where at Christmas time, and I'm recording this little near the Christmas period, he sent 600 people that he didn't know a card. So 600 people he didn't know, he sent them a card. And guess out of that list, how many people he replied back to? Even they didn't know him. 200. So a third of people, just because they got a card, replied back and gave something back in return. So the reason that the law of reciprocity is a key thing for you to bear in mind is when you give something to someone, when you give something to someone that's not just what you want, but give for another reason, not anyone will give back. But again, in the case of the sociology that did it, 200 people, a third of people said, well, if I'm going to get a card, I'm going to give something back. So you've got to consider when you're following up with a potential prospect that the law of reciprocity is there for you to use as well. So what would I do if I've now tried to follow up on a proposal or let's say a conversation I've had with someone? Here's what the email I might send. It might be something like this. Oh, hi, Mary. Hope you well and have a great week. I really enjoyed chatting to you when we spoke about a number of challenges that you're looking to deal with. You're looking to solve challenge X and challenge Y. Look, I know you're busy at the moment, so I'm going to share a resource with you, or I'm going to share a link with you, or I'm going to share something with you just to help maybe overcome some of those thoughts that go over your mind at the moment. And as of when you're ready, I'm always happy to have a conversation. But here's a bit of value. Here's a bit of giving to some of you, Mary, that it helped you overcome that challenge and that issue. Really look forward to catching up with you soon. I will call you next Thursday to find out how things are going and see if I can help in any other way. Best wishes, James. Now, you can retype those words in a certain way, but the point being is I have a video on that on my YouTube channel, and we'll go into sharing exact details around this. But when you go through that process and you share something back, and by the way, in your conversation with Mary, you should have identified the problems and the challenges or the desires that she's looking to work towards, you know, what she's trying to solve. But when you then go and give something, when you try and share to Mary, look, I do want to do business with you, of course I do, but I'm going to share a couple of examples of things that are for you to consider and for you to have, then is it going to guarantee that Mary's going to go, oh, I'm going to definitely get back to James? No. But what it's going to make Mary think is, oh, he's not just after trying to sell to me to push what he wants or she wants to be down a freight. They're going to think they're giving me something. They're trying to help. They're trying to add value. They're trying to show something more than just a selfish attitude. And this law of reciprocity is something that I think we should all take into account. When we do nice things for other people, they want to generally do things back in return for us. It's human nature that people want to operate in that way. And so my question to you is, if you look back at your last set of 5-10 emails on following up, and I'm glad with you following up and spending time following up on prospects, that's amazing. But if you're looking back at those prospecting emails, or those emails, are they focused on you as a seller, or what you want, or are they focused on what the buyer can gain? Are you giving value? Are you sharing something with the buyer that makes them think, well, that's helpful, that was useful? Now, if you've actually provided a proposal of information that's actually going to help them solve the problem or desire that they've got, and you've given them the details around pricing and what that looks like, you're going to be in a good position, hopefully, to work together. But you may not. That's just the nature of it. But the reality is the law of reciprocity is there to give us get. And when you give and when you share and when you try and solve a problem for someone rather than literally just try to further your own ends, people are inclined, in often cases, to come at you. So like the sociologist had 200 people reply back with a card he'd never heard of because they felt obliged to give something back. Think about it related to your prospects and your, you know, the people you're engaging with. What are you giving them? What's making them actually want to come back to you rather than you think, oh, I'm going to do this for my own ends and my own drivers? And I think the follow-up process I see a lot of the time, and people have always asked me, how often should I do that? I remember there was a lady called Lynn once. It was an accountancy company while I was in my previous business. I followed up with value 9 times. So 9 times after initial conversation with her, I said to her, Eileen, I appreciate when you spoke to wanting to deal with this issue. I literally found a resource. I created a blog. I found 4 or 5 articles online from non-competitive sites that I shared with her. I continually, every month for a period of about 9 months, went back and just chipped away with value and gave away value. I remember on email test, she came back and said, thanks very much for being so patient with us. We're now ready to move forward and won some business as a result of that. Now, did I make her feel guilty? No, I'm not sure if I did or not. She did things on her own time, of course. But I do know that the perception of me in her mind was better than if I'd have just nagged her and sent her an email every time saying, Lynn, do you want to do business with me? Lynn, do you want to do business with me? She would have probably got fed up with me and then decided to look at other alternatives. So guess what I'm saying, choosing? A, follow up with value. And B, follow up with consistently. If this is a potential client that you want to work with and you think you can work with, then I think you need to follow up with that value. You need to give that on a regular basis. And if you do that, you may not get success. The 400 people didn't reply to Philip, but the 200 that did, you're going to increase your chance of success, which is all I'm going to do. So just keep that in mind. Have maybe a look at the last, when you stop, if you're listening in the car or wherever, have you got the last, 4 or 5, replies you sent back to proposals? Are they focused on what you want as a seller, or are they focused on what buyer wants? And if they're focused on what you want, then be prepared for that to always go down and be ignored by the buyer, because ultimately you're doing what's right for you, not for them. But if you can follow up with value, and if you can engage them and share insights and share some stuff that can help solve problems and desires that they have, then it's going to make you appear in a better light in their mind, which is going to hopefully help you do some business together in the future. So look, I wanted just to share that with you. And as I say, I'm going to do, you know, there's a video on my YouTube channel around this as well. But I think it's such a critical thing. It's a mistake that I see so many people make in a business-to-business situation. Of course, if you say, you know, £5, you know, chocolate bars, then the reality is, of course, you're not going to do that. But if you're selling a high value business service, which is what many people that are listening to the podcast do, then don't just follow up in a selfish way, follow up with value. So as I always do when I end the podcast, I always try and end the podcast on a really positive note of inspiration story. And it would be remiss of me not to include and to talk about a guy called Kevin Sinfield. If you haven't listened or searched for Kevin, then have a look at him. He had a friend who played rugby league at a very top level for England in the UK. We had a friend of his who used to play in rugby league with called Rob Burrows. And Rob Burrows, unfortunately, suffers and still suffers. Still alive, but has suffered tremendously with motor neurone disease. And Kevin Sinfield is one of these incredibly inspirational people that has done over the last 3 or 4 years, goodness knows how many challenges. He's just completed an ultra marathon challenge with the sole intention of trying to raise some money to help people fight motor neurone disease. But when I think about inspirational stories, I think about people that I look up to and admire, then I've never met Kevin Sinfield. I'd love to, because his will, his determination, his ability to perceive to persevere through pain and to come out of the side so that you can achieve something. He's just an incredible inspiration. So if you've done a search for Kevin Sinfield, have a look for him. He's an inspirational person. He's an inspirational person that's raising money for a great cause, and all because his friend started to suffer from motor neurone disease. So if you're not sure who it is, have a look at him, have a look at what he does. Be inspired by Kevin's story. I am. It continually, people like that do what they do. It makes me think I can, you know, do other things, accomplish things that hopefully will give you that sense of inspiration to achieve what you want over the course of the next near months and months and years. So that's it from me. Follow up with value. Don't be selfish in your sales approach. Be inspired by people like Kevin. Have a brilliant week ahead. I'll see you next Wednesday.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you've enjoyed. If you have, please subscribe to the podcast. It helps us ensure more people can get the insights and ideas they need to get incredible sales results. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode.